This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
The Rich Zioli Show podcast.
Okay, as we try to get to the bottom of just what happened in Las Vegas, what drove the shooter to commit this, this incredible act of mass shooting that is the biggest single death in U.S. history since 9/11. It's just an awful, awful experience for our nation. We're all still reeling from it, and we're trying to understand why. Why did it happen? So is there a connection between the anti-anxiety drugs he was prescribed, his mental health, his mental state, and possibly even the fact that his father was once declared a psychotic? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. CBSPhilly.com/Rich on Twitter at Rich Zioli. Our buddy, Dr. Maz, Dr. Anthony Mazzarelli, the chief physician executive at Cooper University Healthcare System. He joins us now today, as he does every Thursday at 4 o'clock. Dr. Maz, how are you?
Good. It's great to be here.
So let's talk about the anti-anxiety drugs, because when that came out, a lot of people said, okay, was it the drugs that led him to commit that? And obviously you don't have, you know, no one knows, but could it have been the drugs themselves or an underlying condition of which he needed the drugs to treat? And that, but that was really the problem.
No, I wish. We want so much to be able to have an explanation. You want to be able to have a why in these situations, but I don't think this is going to be it. So the situation, it turns out that he was on a daily dose of Valium, which is an anti-anxiety drug. The most common side effects of Valium are drowsiness and a little bit of dizziness. And however, in some people, you can get a little bit aggressive. You can have agitation and aggressiveness from Valium. It's exactly the same. It's a benzodiazepine, so it's very similar to alcohol. So just like you know of some people, that most people get very drowsy and kind of get more relaxed when they drink, there's the occasional person that is, when they're drunk, they actually get agitated and they get violent. That is exactly what some people are saying is, oh, well, maybe he is one of those people. And that is what led to him going on this incredible rampage. The problem is that it would be, so essentially it lowers your inhibitions, and maybe he is one of those few people. The problem is that it's highly unlikely, if not impossible, as many experts are saying, that the diazepam or the Valium alone would drive a person to shoot more than 500 people. Could it be a contributory factor, that some underlying issue that puts you over the top, or this is something that is contributory? Sure, that he is on the list of things that caused him to do this, that he is one of the few people that gets more agitated when he takes Valium, his once-a-day Valium, where he was taking more, sure. But this is not the sole reason that led him to do this, unfortunately. And I know how much we all want to be able to say, that's it. That is the evil. That is the reason why this happened. But I don't think we can do that here.
And so, Dr. Maz, the underlying condition of anxieties, I mean, Valium's a very common drug, too, right? I mean, millions of people take it?
Valium, yeah. Valium's a very common drug. I mean, the anti-anxiety drugs are pretty pervasive. A lot of people take them. There's different kinds, you know, Ativan, Valium, different. And all of these are different, what they call benzodiazepines. They're all, the benzodiazepines were created in the 1960s, actually by a chemist in New Jersey. And they've been around for a long time. People take them in low doses for anxiety, and they're very... For a lot of people, they're incredibly helpful. Like I said, some people have some side effects, but they're not going to be the thing that trigger. It would be like saying, and maybe someone would, that, he's an alcoholic. He killed 500 people because he is someone who, when he drinks, gets violent. And he had a violent outburst from his alcoholism. Maybe someone could think that would happen, but that would be the exact analogy.
Right.
And I think that would be a step too far for most people to say.
There was a story I saw in the Las Vegas Review Journal. They said, you know, some experts say that the drug could provoke people towards aggression, though.
Yeah, it could. And that is, some people have that side effect with this. So even though it chills most people out, the occasional person, it has that side effect. It makes them aggressive. But it's not going to be the enough that I think it goes this far. Like I was saying, just like with alcohol, where most people it chills them out and some people it makes them violent. It's not going to be, I think, the thing that, that puts them over the top and puts them on a rampage. A lot of people, experts who have weighed in, have said, yes, it can make you aggressive. But it's a far stretch that it makes you so aggressive that you go on a pre-planned attack like this. Maybe, I doubt it. It just seems very doubtful. It's more wishful thinking of the natural human inclination to want to have an explanation.
Dr. Anthony Mazzarelli joins us. Of course, Dr. Maz, the chief physician executive at Cooper University Healthcare System and overseeing as well the MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper. Dr. Maz, so then let's not focus on the actual drug itself. Let's focus on what could be the underlying condition there. I think we all agree that somebody who does something like this is off their rocker. I mean, they're crazy in some way, shape, or form.
No. In the moment they're doing it, they are. There's no doubt, I think, you know, and this is where you start to get into definitions. I mean, the typical profile of someone that goes on a mass shooting, some of the experts would say that they're not, they don't have the same profile, and that their diagnosis, their underlying diagnosis is usually more of a personality disorder, and that's their psychiatric diagnosis. And less of some of the other kind of crazy diagnoses, of a delusion or those kinds of things. But there is some kind of diagnosis there because it is not normal, obviously, to do this. He doesn't fit, from, you know, what I have seen, doesn't fit the normal, 100% the normal profile. He's a little older, than, some of these profiles, but, you know, people don't read these textbooks when they go in these behaviors. They not everything fits neatly into what has been described. It is typical. Some of the behavior he did that is typical to the personality disorder, particularly that narcissistic personality disorder, is no one can be more powerful when you're that narcissistic, and that's why they always end up taking their own life in the end, because they have to have that final say. And that sort of is consistent with that narcissistic personality disorder in the end. But he didn't have a lot of the things that go around that, where we haven't yet seen a manifesto. We don't see a ton of posts or other things, but there's still some time to come out to figure out what's going on, you know, when we see other things play out over time.
How does a guy like this, though, live his whole life and nobody sees any red flags in him, at least any red flags that would lead somebody to say this guy could potentially be dangerous down the road?
I don't know. We have seen that. All we've seen is that his brother hasn't seen any red flags, right? Because that's all you've really seen.
Well, his girlfriend, the girlfriend came out and said the same thing. She said he's a very, very sweet guy. She never thought that he would ever act violently like this.
Right. So those are two fairly biased. I bet his 90-year-old mom is probably in the same camp. So far, his mom, you know, his girlfriend and his brother have said that. I don't know if the rest of his life would say that. That's what kind of remains to be seen. So I don't know. It's a good question. And then there's also the question of whether, you know, was it some kind of psychotic break? He's a little old for a psychotic break. But did something happen that he changed dramatically? It's not like all of these people are, you know, these are signals that you can accumulate over an entire lifetime about someone to know that, oh, wow, I can look back and if I could just see a compressed version of all of these signals over a lifetime, I would know. It doesn't always work that way. Now, some, you know, personality disorders are pervasive, and if that's what it is, you would see it over time. But some people have a psychotic break, and it's something that changed. It could, maybe there's something in his brain. Maybe that they'll find a tumor or something that then that alter his personality. I mean, we'll see what happens, and maybe that's it. So maybe it's something that is temporary over a shorter time period that made him change the way he behaves.
Dr. Anthony Mazzarelli, what is a psychic break exactly? What is the medical definition of that? And then you said he's a little old for it, so when does it normally occur?
So a psychotic, you can have a psychotic break, and again, it's not a psychiatrist. They would know this on top of their head better than me, but I think people in their 20s can have their first psychotic break, and that's where people who have schizophrenia or other diseases tend to, at a younger age, be the first time that they really start to manifest that disease and really have an episode of psychosis And then they end up having that disease essentially for life, and then they get treated. And those are people that you're going to know over time. His brother would sort of know that he struggled with that disease, even if he's been able to keep it under control. But it doesn't seem like that's the deal. This seems like a pretty high-functioning person from what we know so far. So we'll learn a lot more. So I think in that differential of what it is here is maybe something that's more acute, or are there things that he's been able to hide from people for a long time?
Yeah, it's remarkable. Hey, you ran the emergency department at Cooper University Healthcare. You guys are a level one trauma center. So what are your thoughts on just how the trauma center out there handled all of this?
Well, one of our former Cooper residents is actually a physician at one of the trauma centers out there in Vegas that took on 200 of the patients.
Wow.
And we were in touch with him, and that's just an overwhelming amount of people to see. And it is hard. You know, this is a mass casualty event, and it is, you can train, and we train, and all the health systems in the Philadelphia region, I know, train for these kinds of events. And you do the tabletop exercises, and you train for this, and no matter how hard you train, this is hard to do. And as if you look, that number hasn't risen, right? It only went from 58 to 59 because he was number 59. That's the only reason why I went from 58 to 59. And so that is a testament to the kind of care that's been given over the last couple days. But mass casualty is tough because it's a lot of people without a lot of resources, just because you would never, staff in a way to be prepared for this. So you really got to think they did a good job out there in Vegas in a lot of people put a lot of time in and stayed a lot longer than their shift to get this done. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that deserve a lot of credit for how things were handled that night.
Well said. And it's good to know you guys do train for this. Dr. Anthony Mazzarelli, the chief physician executive at Cooper University Hospital. Thanks, my friend. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Actually, you'll be in for me on Friday of next week. I should point that out. So you'll be actually hosting the show on Friday.
Yeah, because you apparently you say you refuse to ever do the show on Friday the 13th. It's like your thing, right?
I am very, 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 very superstitious. That is correct. And also, I'll be in Italy. But other than that, I'm superstitious. All right. Dr. Maz, everybody. We'll see you next week, bud. Appreciate it.
Recioli 306. Talk Radio 1210. WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.